You're listening to Rambling Business, the only international small business and travel podcast with Rick and Brandon,
where we get into your business no matter where it is.
And today we'll be talking about crossing the river Styx with a funeral director. Rambling Business leaves our Philadelphia business series and crosses state lines to New Jersey, or as other people know it, New Joysy.
Right.
Was that great? Was that a great accent?
It was excellent. I didn't notice people starting to change their accents when I crossed the state line, by the way.
Oh, really?
No, I didn't see that.
Well, you're the one who was there. Rick meets Bill Shedder of Shedder Funeral Homes and learns what it's like to grow up in a family funeral direction business and offer others services at their most difficult times. Of course, stay tuned for our tax deals and business takeaways coming up.
You know, this story is going to be a family type of progression, going down through your ancestors and your people that were your father and grandfather and things like that. But I'm going to use senior and junior because I don't want to use the third and the second, because math is not a requirement to listen to this podcast.
Or be an accountant, apparently.
Well, Bill H. Shedder, Sr., came from a line of masons, bricklayers in Cherry Hill, New Jersey. Now, I've only known a couple of people that are really masons.
Yeah.
In my life. There really is not a lot of people that do that.
Not building a lot of houses out of brick anymore.
On the West Coast, you're right. I didn't think about that. The East Coast, they have the brick houses.
Yeah, exactly. Because the West Coast, if you build out of bricks, it falls apart in an earthquake.
That's right. Well, his brother and fathers were experts at this trade. And, you know, things were the change for Bill Sr., though, one day. Because one day, as a young man, he fell off the roof and landed on his back in a chicken coop.
Oh, geez.
Why? You know, it's funny. The story that Bill Jr. was telling, he says he landed in the chicken coop. And I kind of wondered, that's a very interesting detail that they said. And I wonder why that detail has passed down through generations.
It's pretty funny.
Yeah.
Chicken coop is an objectively funny phrase.
Yeah. Well, you own one.
I do. And it's very funny. Every time I see it, I laugh.
So Bill Sr. decided masonry work was not for him, and he worked as an apprentice for a funeral director in Camden, New Jersey.
Well, I think the biggest problem with that whole story is why he was building a brick roof.
I know. I only see that in the Mayan temples, right? So, in fact, one of the things is that what Bill Jr. was telling me is that I forget which wife, maybe it was his mother, was pregnant. His dad took her to the hospital in a hearse.
Yeah, a lot of room.
And, you know, I think the Munsters when I see that.
Yeah, definitely.
Right? Didn't they drive that?
They drove a hearse. Yeah.
Yeah.
I've seen the Munsters. Nick at Night exists.
Oh, okay. All right. Those were when TV was good.
I didn't watch the whole series. I can't tell you about the second season development of Grandpa or the vampire one.
Yeah, right. Grandpa. Yeah,
Grandpa.
Yeah. So, now how I do become a funeral director is you have to have 2 years of college and 2 years of apprenticeship, or 4 years of college and 1 year apprenticeship. And on top of that, you have to do another year in mortuary service, some sort of service, like hands-on, which is very interesting because we talked about how the apprenticeship program is kind of dying in this country and how Europe has really taken off.
Good pun there.
And that was unintentional.
I know. That's why it was good.
But in the funeral directory business, that's very important. And it is really great that they have that because it's such a lost art of apprenticeship that we seem to be missing in so many different things.
Yeah.
So Bill Sr., though, had something very essential that all funeral directors should have, and that's people skills. Because, you know, it's not like the Old West, you know, where, you know, this guy comes out with a top hat and a coat, and the two gunslingers are out there in the dirt, and he goes up there before they shoot their guns and measures them, you know. And it's not, you know. I don't even think it was like that in Virginia City, you know?
No. Well, the whole, like, Western thing was, like, way made up.
Yeah, right.
They had really good gun control, actually. A lot of those places, they'd make you, you'd have to give up your guns before you came into town.
Really?
Remember in Back to the Future when they when he made them do that?
Yeah.
Back to the Future is the most realistic.
Oh, really?
When it comes to gun control in the Old West. Just very weird.
So Bill Sr. always loved helping people. He even later became a city councilman. And so, you know, the funeral story, you know, this funeral home story is like out of a movie. You know, it was brick. It was built by the family. His, you know, his father and his brother has built it, you know. And I saw it. I was in it. You know, it was pretty amazing. And the best part about it is they got their first client. First client, Ollie C. Loving.
Yeah. It's a great name.
It's a great name.
It's a great
for name. Your first person. They're going to Loving. Isn't that great?
Yeah.
Because you're there with your love. You're there with
your
loved ones.
Loved ones, yeah.
You know, it's great. And so they remember that name.
I mean, think it would have been better if it was something like Robert Graves.
Yeah. Or, yeah, right.
Something like that.
But things have changed, though. You know, back in 79, 8% of funerals were cremation, and today it's 50%.
Mm-hmm.
That's something?
I mean, that makes sense. We put people, you know, in the ground for a long time, and there's not a lot of room.
Yeah.
There's way more people who have died than are alive now. So.
Well, you know what I learned when we were looking at, or I was hearing a book on tape on the building of cathedrals and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
In Ireland, they were talking about how the ground around this church mm-hmm. was raised up, and they were saying, oh, the church is sinking. And they said, no, the ground's rising up from burying people.
Oh,
on top
okay.
of each other.
Yeah, yeah.
They kept bringing in dirt, and so it looks like the church is sinking.
So yeah. They had to raise the church up?
Jack, you walk,
put on jacks.
You go down the church. You don't go up the church. You know. So you know, things are different. Cultures have changed in this country. Now, the establishment that I went to had a driveway between the funeral home and the home where the family lived, like a carport. You drive through.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so now Bill Jr., who's who I talked to, his brother used to claim that there were spirits that he'd see in the mm-hmm. house. Okay.
Yeah.
Which means what? All the kids from the neighborhood would come over to play, right?
Yeah.
You just know they're going to come over to play. You know, it's just.
Aren't kids supposed to be afraid of ghosts, though?
Not when you're like 13. You know, it's like.
I was a big fraidy cat my whole life, so.
Yeah, I mean, I lived only blocks away from a cemetery. Mm-hmm. And we used to climb over the fence in the cemetery. That was just the coolest thing to do. So the kids, you'd come over the premises and play, and there's a lot of kids there all the time, which was good, too, because you had a lot of families coming there for services, and it's a family-type thing and a family-type atmosphere. However, one day, Bill Jr.'s brother was washing his bike in that carport between the funeral home and the residence, and he had this... You know, we use dishwashing liquids back in my day. You know, today they have bike soap, you know, but
special soap for bikes.
Yeah. Well, he was through, so he threw the you know, the dishwashing liquid away, but it went into the air conditioner compressor.
No.
While it was on. You know, the cooling tower?
Yeah.
And it started making suds. And okay. suds and suds. And there was a funeral going on. Viewing going on inside the home.
Oh no!
And you look out and you see heaven.
Yeah, just clouds. It's
just clouds. They walk out. They walk out the back door and they thought, you know, the rapture just happened or something.
Some sort of miracle. But really, it was just that thing that happens in sitcoms.
I know, too much. I know. Really, that would be. So, you know, this is kind of the things that happen when you were in a family in this kind of industry.
Yeah, especially, I mean, if you were living in your place of work, you're always going to have hilarious hijink stories about, you know, mixing your family and your work life.
Yeah. So Bill Jr. took over, you know, the funeral home, and it's been thriving ever since. And he has the same kind of idea of helping the community, helping people, being there for them at the most difficult times. And sometimes, you know, helping a family is just not, you know, putting your hand on their shoulder and talking to them quietly. Sometimes you have these great insights of the industry. For example, he said, if you want to put an obituary in the paper, don't put it in a major paper. It costs $1,000. Put it in a local one. It's $350. So this is the kind of stuff he tells them to try to save money on their funeral costs.
Yeah, especially since, you know, people aren't always thinking the most rationally and thinking, you know, with their pocketbook
exactly.
after a family tragedy.
Another thing that he tried to do is that there was this soldier, this veteran, being buried, and the family really wanted taps to be played, but they couldn't find a bugler. Mm-hmm. They couldn't. So he got a tape of a bugle playing and mm-hmm. put it into one of those jam boxes, right?
Jam boxes?
I don't know what they're called anymore. Boom box? Boom box. I don't know.
A jam box is what you put next to the bread box to store your jams. That's what you're...
So he put it in a boom box, and they, you know, they went to the, you know, the burial and playing taps. But he forgot one thing. Batteries. So in the middle of taps, it was going...
Oh, no, it's like winding down.
And it went in, yeah, so, you know, it's like the bugler was...
Running out of air.
Yeah, of air. And so that was the kind of things that happen. But, you know, in this business, it's 24 hours a day you're on call.
Yeah, you have to be.
And sometimes, tragically, you have to deal with a homicide victim. Gosh. And he said they had this one person that was murdered, and I don't know why the FBI was involved. It may have crossed state lines. I'm not sure what the issue was.
Involved the federal case.
Maybe, but he said that the FBI were there at the funeral taking down license plate numbers because
just,
the person...
Just like in The Godfather at the wedding.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
Oh, my gosh. It's Trumpet City. Why don't you just do a trumpet store? Interview a trumpeter so you can force people to listen to you trumpet.
So, but he said the latest movement, though, are green funerals, which I have never heard of these before.
Oh, yeah, where they, like, plant a tree on the
than that, it's they have wooden caskets, no metal caskets, no bronze, things like that.
Pine caskets like they used to have in the Old West.
No headstones.
Yep.
They burn their name into a piece of wood. There's no embalming. There's no formaldehyde. Mm-hmm. And he said they don't use trucks. So I guess maybe the trucks to bury somebody, you know, like the backhoe or something. Mm-hmm. They don't use trucks because of oil. Yeah. And so it's all by hand.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And so this is a really interesting thing that I don't know. I mean, it seemed like that would be something that would start in California, right?
I've heard of stuff like that where, you know, they'll put you in like a seed in with you, basically, and grow a tree from your...
Really?
From your body.
Wow.
Yeah. And so then the idea is that, like, the graveyard, right, will be a park.
Yeah. Oh, that's kind
of
an idea.
I've heard about that, but I've never heard about, you know, doing everything by hand and...
That's interesting. I'd like to hear more about that. That's really cool.
Because it makes sense, because, like, a lot of grave areas, you know, cemeteries have some trees, but they're not like...
No,
they're pretty
they're
big
very,
open.
Yeah, open, like big lawns, yeah. Mm-hmm. Now, the latest challenge that they have is naming their family boat, he told me.
Okay.
He said they wanted... They were thinking about Men in Black.
Yeah, okay. That's funny.
And also Not a Call, which means that they didn't have a call, so they're out there on the boat.
Yeah, so they're on the boat.
But they rejected those. So I suggested something from Dante's Divine Comedy, Virgil's Ferry.
Yeah.
Abandon Hope, which, you know, is all that thing. Or Eternal, from Eternal and Eternal I Endure. That's also from his poem. Mm-hmm. And another one is Supremest Wisdom in Primeval Love. So I'm giving you all these suggestions because I'm hoping he's listening. Mm-hmm. We might find one of these in the back of his boat somewhere.
Or Charon's Ferry.
Charon, I thought it was Virgil.
No, Charon's the guy that takes you across the River Styx.
Oh, okay. But Virgil is in the...
Yeah, he gets the guy in the boat. Yeah.
Okay. Oh, okay. Well, that's...
Charon's the name of the guy.
Oh, okay.
It's also a name of one of Pluto's moons, I think.
Oh,
Pluto's
you're right. Yeah, very good. If Pluto's a god of the underworld.
Pluto is a moon now. Sorry. There's two moons rotating each other.
So maybe if you listeners have any pithy names... email us and we'll pass them on.
Yeah, we'll pass them on. Any spooky boat themes? I mean, the Viking funeral would be a good name for a boat. No. But then it would burn down, and you don't want that.
Yeah, you don't want that. Unless you have a lifeboat, that would be okay.
Yeah. To learn more about the Shedder Funeral Home, go to www.shedderfh.com. That's SCHETTER, then the letters F and H. rickmeetsbillshedder.com.
You're listening to Rambling Business. We'd like to thank our sponsor, Rick E. Norris and Accountancy Corporation. If you'd like to get the full experience, check out our website for videos, music, pictures, takeaways, and travel tips. www.ramblingbusiness.com.
Now it's time for our tax tales, where we tell you about strange and unusual taxes from the past and the present.
Tax tales.
Woo!
And since we're talking about Jersey, and it's about Halloween when we're recording this, you know.
Yeah.
So now the podcast is no longer timeless because we reference the time of year.
Well, they look at the dates anyway.
When you're listening to this 400 years in the future,
know
that there's a holiday called Halloween where we all dressed up. So Halloween's around the corner. New Jersey makes a weird distinction on pumpkins and taxes. So if you plan to eat the pumpkin, if you plan to make it in a pumpkin pie, you don't have to pay sales tax because it's food.
Mm-hmm.
But if you plan to carve it, paint it, decorate it, or just, I guess, put it on
the head of a headless horseman?
That's true. You could just put it on your front porch as decoration. You have to pay sales tax because it's a decoration and not food.
Mm.
So I guess just tell them you're going to eat it if you want to cheat on your sales tax.
What I would do is you pick the pumpkin up, you go up there, and you take a bite out of it right there.
Right there.
Right
Prove
there.
It to them.
That's right.
Well, they're totally different. The eating pumpkins are like much differently shaped.
Are they?
Yeah. Oh. The big ones are huge. We have one of those growing in our yard because a seed from when we made cooked pumpkin seeds got into the compost and then
Really?
Yeah, so we have a pumpkin waiting for us and I don't want to eat it either. Now it's time for a travel tip where we tell you what fun things you can do in New Jersey.
You know, when people go to New Jersey, many of them stop at Atlantic City, like your brother, Devin, who does the music for our show.
Yeah.
He played there at the Hard Rock Cafe when they opened up.
Casino, yeah.
So if you're in Atlantic City, drive 6 miles to Margate, because Margate is where you'll find Lucy, the 65-foot elephant.
Oh, I was thinking Lucille Ball?
No.
Is that where she's
No, been? And we're not talking about B.B. King's guitar either. No, that's Lucille.
Or Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds.
That's right. This elephant-styled building was constructed in 1881 and is designed as now... I'm sorry, designated now as a historical landmark. It has a gift shop inside, and on top is a covered balcony. You know, like you see in the movies.
Oh, on the howdah.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
It's a deck. You go up there, and you stand up there, and there's a ceiling, and you know.
And you can, like, drink your drinks that you buy there.
Yeah. So it's pretty cool. Stop by there.
It's much easier to find that than it is to find a real elephant with a howdah on it.
That's right.
Now it's time for our takeaways, where we tell you what steps you can take to implement what we've been talking about on the podcast. The first thing to think about is, you have to do some soul searching to see if you have a special skill in helping people during their most troubled times, if you want to get into the sort of business where you're helping people through a tragedy.
Mm-hmm. Number two, if you have that skill, find a profession that opens opportunities for you to help people. You know, funeral directing is one, but there's lots of industries out there that help
counseling.
Yeah, right.
Is another one. The third thing to think about is expand your compassion for helping people into other aspects of your life. Bill Sr. had that reputation and sat on the city council and did not only, you know, emotional support to people who are in need, but also civic duty, you know, helping people out in the town and giving them advice.
Mm-hmm. And last, learn by apprenticeship. If you can, any way you can, try to find somebody to teach you. Most trades and professions are falling away from this, but funeral director careers still see it as the best way to bring the next generation up.
And it's the best way to do any job. I mean, I know plenty of people who got out of college and then got into a job and were, you know, had to do on-the-job training, you know, and just sort of figure it out. And that's not the best way to get the best out of your new hires. Now it's time to answer a question from one of our listeners. Janice asks, what is workers' compensation insurance and why do I need it?
Well, you know, a lot of people don't know what workers' comp is because they've never been hurt on a job.
Yeah.
You know
very well what it is.
If you get hurt, you're asking people. So what it is, it's an insurance that's usually required by law. I want to say usually because I don't know every state, but I would think everybody requires it by law. And it's taken out by employers and paid by employers to protect not only the employee when they get hurt, but the employer, because this way
otherwise the person could sue you for medical bills.
Right. So when the employer gets hurt, excuse me, when the employee gets hurt on a job, it can provide medical care and temporary disability benefits due to lost wages. So this is one thing that people miss when they become independent contractors, where an employer may say, "Oh, I don't want to, I want to serve you as an independent contractor because I don't want to pay the taxes." But you also don't get workers' comp or state disability insurance because it's not being paid
in. The last thing you want to do is get a job and get hurt on that job and then have no recourse.
Yeah.
That's all we have for this week. Tune in next week when we are going to stay in New Jersey. But until then, you can check out our other podcasts where rambling businesses travel from Maui to Martha's Vineyard, New Orleans to Vancouver, Canada to Norway, San Francisco to Amsterdam, trotting straight across this planet.
Yep.
Our map at ramblingbusiness.com shows our travels. You can click on the pins to see the individual cities and what we've done there. Next week, we're going to continue in New Jersey, getting into the world of web design and promoting your business on the internet, which is something that everyone needs to know how to do now.
Right. And, we just want to give you guys a heads up that we will be dark for a few weeks after mid-October into mid-November because we are taking Rambling Business to Egypt, Israel, and Petra, Jordan.
Yeah, so we can't record while they're gone.
Yeah.
But
I will be interviewing businesses in those three countries, and that means that after I get back, Rambling Business will have been on four continents.
Yep.
Amazing.
Yeah. And all I have to show for it is this shirt. But until then, I'm Brandon.
This is Rick. And thank you for letting us get in your business no matter where it is. Our music and podcast was produced by my son, Devin S. Norris. For all your music composition and podcast needs, check out devinsnorris.com.